Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today, we are in the mailbag,
the February mailbag.
So we're going to read some of the mail we've received and answer these questions. So, Sean, how do you feel about these mailbag episodes?
Well, you know, Matt, I'm pleasantly surprised. People have questions, dude. And it's coming from all over the world. Like, we are international. So to hear their questions and being able to respond to them and for us to meet and discuss what our listeners want to know, it's great. It's great. You know, it's my worldly global give back. So I'm enjoying it. What about yourself, Matt?
I think it's great. So I think I would encourage all of our listeners, if there's things you're dealing with or questions you have, definitely shoot us an email. Dion, what do we tell them? Where are we sending these questions?
Oh, yes, definitely. Take note. It's TBGWGC, which stands for Two Black Guys with Good Credit, @gmail.com.
So send us your questions. So let's get into the bag. Let's read this first question. It's from Michael, and he says, I'm an investor who is active in the stock market at 63 years young. I've never had an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too late to start one now? I'm retired. And by the way, I really enjoy the podcast. Okay, actually, just want to pause for a second. For the people at home, Sean, can you, or Dion, can we explain what an IRA is?
IRA is an acronym. People may refer to it as IRA sometimes. Actually, it means individual retirement account. And most people that open up an IRA may not have a 401k retirement plan through their company, or they may be self-employed, so they open up an individual retirement account. Well, let's give him the textbook answer initially, okay? Then we'll give him what I would call my two black guys with good credit answer. First of all, the maximum age for limit to an IRA contribution is 70 and a half years old. Once you reach 70 and a half, you're no longer eligible to make traditional IRA contributions. So you being 63 years young, you still have time to make a traditional IRA contribution. A Roth IRA, there's no upper age limits to making a contribution. And just to give you a little understanding of the difference between a Roth and a traditional Roth IRA, generally when you contribute to a traditional IRA, if you contribute, like, let's say $3,000 and you make $100,000 in a given tax year, you can reduce your income from $100,000 to $97,000 as your income that you report to the government. The $3,000 you contribute is considered tax deferred. And anything you earn on that when you're investing in an IRA is like an umbrella. Anything you earn within your IRA during that time is protected from taxes. All right. So when you withdraw your money now, the age when you get 59 and a half, like next year for you, Matt, it's considered that you don't, it's tax. You're not going to pay a penalty. you're still it'll still add to your income because the theory is, Matt, as you get old, you're not going to be making as much, so you'll be in a lower tax bracket. Okay. So, but a Roth IRA, the main difference between a Roth IRA, the contributions that you make are not tax deductible at that time.
Deductible or deductible?
Deductible.
Okay.
So you're paying your taxes on them, but when you withdraw them, they're tax deductible. There's no taxes on them at that time because you've already paid the tax. You haven't taken out the tax from that deduction.
And of course, if you're opening later in life, that would mean that you don't have to worry about early withdrawal penalties, right? Because after 59 and a half,
absolutely,
there's no penalties, which
absolutely
is great.
Right. So, you know, now the theory, now what I would say to really answer your question, now that you understand the difference, is that, you know, you have to ask yourself, like Dion said, well, if you're contributing to an IRA as a tax-sheltered retirement program, but when you take the money out, there's no tax consequences, why are you really putting money into an IRA? You know, it's really an IRA is just a tax shelter. So if you're looking that, okay, I'm going to put it in this year so that I do not have to report the income for next year, that may be your plan, or for 5 years down the road, that may be your plan, but it's really a tax shelter. And your same investments that you do outside of your IRA, you can do within your IRA, and it is either going to be it's tax deferred, you know. So you still would eventually may have to pay taxes on it, but not immediately.
And just to be clear, so no matter when you open a Roth IRA, you have to wait 5 years before you start withdrawing the earnings tax free.
Exactly. Yeah. So there you go. But with a traditional IRA, you don't have to wait the 5 years.
That's right.
Good point. So you have to really understand what is my goal here. So maybe, Michael, you want to follow up with a question to us for our next show and kind of give us a better understanding of why you have that thought and where are you trying to go with this.
All right. Well,
thank you, Sean. You sounded so intelligent today.
That
today.
I am, young lady.
Today.
Let's get back to the bag. All right. So our next letter comes from Shanae.
I think that's her privacy name, Matt. I think she watched Martin before.
Okay, all right.
Well, you know who you are, Shanae.
Shanae says, I am a 30-year-old, childless, single, and then she says in quotes, and looking. She's looking if there's anybody out there.
Not just anybody.
Can
she
you
said
just read
cultured,
it?
Like, educated, goal-oriented brother, by the way.
Okay.
My way.
So any goal-oriented brothers out there who are cultured and educated, reach out to Shanae. She says, thanks to Uncle Sam, I have been able to complete my bachelor's and master's with no student loans.
Woo! Nice.
That's awesome. With a credit score of 795,
all
I have...
All right!
Yeah, man, they sent me in my application, boy.
With a credit score of 795, I have been able to maintain zero balances on my two credit cards and have over $90,000 in high-yield savings accounts.
Sexy.
Shanae's killing it.
Sexy Shanae.
Recently...
Getting sexier by the minute.
Recently, I've invested $5,000 into the U.S. stock market, which has been rather difficult because I tend to play it safe with a low-risk mentality. Currently, I work as a consultant in sub-Sahara Africa.
Hello, Mama Africa.
My salary tends to be relatively low in comparison to my colleagues who are assigned in headquarters positions in Washington, D.C., London, Toronto, etc. My current tax-free salary is approximately $48,000 with reasonable benefits. No cost medical, dental, life insurance, travel expenses, and professional development courses.
I think that's a little bit more than reasonable. I think that's great.
And the cost of living is beyond affordable. So she's in a good spot. Let's get to her question. No, For context.
Yes, Shanae, is there a question in here?
For context, we're getting the whole life
story. I
love
it, though.
For context, my rent is a spacious two-bedroom, two-bathroom house. It's $191.
USD, yeah.
And dinner in a restaurant ranges from $3 to $7.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. My other monthly expenses do not exceed $86. I do not foresee myself returning to the U.S. in the near future, yet I am beginning to get that itch to use my other veteran benefits, specifically the VA home loan, which offers to purchase a home with no down payment, regardless of the cost of the home. I presume an incredibly low interest rate with my credit history. I would love to purchase a duplex and get rid of my storage unit and use the other portion of the house for tenants. So here's her question. I aspire to continue to diversify my income streams, but have come to the realization that my options are quite limited due to my location. Besides real estate, the stock market, and bonds, how can I add more wealth to my portfolio? Any financial advice, suggestions, and or feedback would be greatly appreciated. Oh, and I forgot to add, the VA home loan is only applicable to property in the U.S.
Can I sum things up before we start answering your questions?
Absolutely.
You know, what I love about this question comment book that Shanaynay provided us with is that it speaks a lot, okay? People are always worried about, especially in America, we get caught up in this, I want to make six figures, I want to make this amount of money. And really, it comes down to quality of life and what, and I always say money is a means to an end. And what can this money do for me? So when you're thinking, Shanaynay, like, oh, my colleagues are making so much more money, but they're living in Washington, D.C., London, Toronto. Listen, they can't get a meal for $7. They can't get rent for $191. And I guarantee probably after their expenses versus your expenses, you probably have a lot more take home than they do.
And can we mention the experiences, like the what you're experiencing, you can't put a price tag on.
Absolutely. And the trade-off for you is, you know, if you're okay with the quality of life, you may not have that fast subway train that they have. You may not have the fancy restaurants that they have. There's a certain quality of life trade-off, and that's for you to answer. Is it worth it to me? Because Arlington Forbes, A Love, whatever we call him now. Now, we've had this conversation. He went to Mali, and he was just like, Sean, the quality of life and how far the dollar can stretch, it's a place that I'm really considering to retire. So I think people should really hone in to like—
Bro, I went to Bali, not Mali.
Bali, sorry. Sorry, Bali. So when people should really hone in and understand, like, where do I want to go? Where do I see myself? And, you know, what can support my lifestyle? Because, yes, she can make $100,000 in some big city, but it may not support her lifestyle. Well, she's living this exquisite life for less than $500 a month. Now to her question. Should she be investing in real estate in the U.S.? And I absolutely 150% say yes.
Oh.
Because I've known people that get those VA loans and like I have a police friend too that get those discounted loans. It's like you're buying something and you automatically have equity in your investment.
Right.
So if you buy something, let's say for $100,000, it may be worth $130,000 right away and you have $30,000 in equity. Plus you're getting all these reduced rates on closing costs. You may get free attorneys. Mm-hmm. You get all these benefits that can help you launch your real estate hustle.
Well, I would also add, because I know that Shanaynay's letter was quite long, so I think we might be missing part of the question. One of the questions he says is, besides real estate, besides the stock market, and besides bonds, how can I add more wealth to my portfolio?
I know you're skirting my favorite conversation, which is real estate, so I'll save that for another time. And we've done some great episodes on real estate, but I still think, Shanaynay, you should still explore some avenues of real estate. But to answer your question, I think what I love about the world that we're living in today and global markets, there's opportunities everywhere. And what I'm looking at when I read this is how great you're able to leverage U.S. currency in a market that, you know, in an emerging market. If there's opportunities in Africa that you see where you're getting, you can see goods and services, like you see teacups that sell for 10 cents and, you know, in the States they sell for $5. Look at those opportunities where you're there already, where you can create a business, and everybody, you know, there's always some type of good or service that you can put into a foreign market, another market, and draw a profit from it. You know, start become part of the business community in Africa. Start meeting with certain people. See what opportunities lay ahead for yourself if that's a place you're looking to commit to. And then try to match it with your skill set, things that you've learned in school, in college, in the Army that is going to be able to make you, you know, an expert in something, specialize in something. So I would start with that.
I completely agree, Sean. And when you look at that question in terms of besides real estate, stock market, and bonds, it doesn't leave you much else other than, like you're saying, entrepreneurship. And the book we often reference here, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, author Kiyosaki talks about the four quadrants, the cash flow quadrant. And basically, you can be an employee, you can be a business owner, an investor. If you're an employee, you're not really going to build wealth. The entrepreneur, it's one of the other main avenues for building wealth. So I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said, Sean. entrepreneurship would be something to look into if you're trying to find another way to build wealth.
Yeah, building your brand. Like, I mean, we all realize this later on in life, but if we knew that how early it is important to build your brand, where like something you specialize in. Before this show, you know, Matt was just having general conversations. It's like, he edits our podcast, and three people have reached out to him about editing and podcast and working with that. And his brand is being like, he's becoming the podcast edit girl. And the reason why is because he does a damn good job editing our podcast. If you guys hear what we really talk about and what he has to edit out and put together, he's a master.
Genius.
And not to oversell anybody looking to start a podcast, Matt Smith at, what is it, tv@gmail.com. This man, he knows what and it shows because he's gotten people reaching out to him. So it's really finding what your skill set and what you're good at and trying to leverage it.
Well, Shanaynay, I hope we Deanna, did you want to add?
No, I was just going to say we're going to get really creative here. She's in sub-Saharan Africa. I can just imagine maybe the artwork. That's another potential. If she's already got stocks covered, she's already got real estate covered. You know what I mean? Maybe you start branching out to other things like art.
Well, Africa is known for even minerals, raw minerals, natural resources.
I was going to say next, commodities, you know? Yeah. So definitely worth exploring. You're in the motherland. Definitely look at commodities as well. Gold and silver, oil. Yeah, that's what I was going to add.
Become an active part of the business community out there, Shanaynay.
Well, we hope we answered your question. All right, well, let's get back to this mailbag. Question number three. What steps do you think black people can do to create generational wealth? From life insurance, wills, stock market investments, and real estate. And do you really think black wealth will drop to zero by 2053? And what steps do we need to take in order to prevent this from happening?
Well, I'm going to start off by this. When we're known as the largest consumer, one of the largest consumers in the world, I don't know if we are number one, but we're a top consumer, black people in general. That alone shows that we have a lot of purchasing power. So look within your community and look around, walk the streets, read the paper, see what people are consuming a lot of, and that's not part of that we're not producing, and produce it. Find a way, and when I say produce it, like even get back into our podcast, we wanted to do a professional podcast that is on par with all podcasts. So whenever you're going to do something, you're going to bring something to the black community, make sure it's professional, it's on par, it competes. A lot of times people will say, well, you know, buy my cup of tea, it's $8, support the black community, but we can go to Starbucks and get tea for $2. No, like if you know what the market is saying, if the market is saying tea is $2, and you find a way to produce that tea at $2, but make it exceptional. Brand it, market it, let people know. Look into your community, give back to the community, and grow your business there. I think that is what the first step you should be taking.
Yes. He mentions life insurance. For those who may not be familiar, there's something called whole life insurance. And basically, this provides a death benefit that is paid out to your beneficiaries when they die. However, there's another component to it. It provides cash that you can tap into after having the policy for several years. So you can actually take money out to invest. It's either called whole life cash value policy. It's slightly different from a universal life policy, but you do have opportunities to use your life insurance to actually create wealth in that sense too.
And my last point is, before we move on, is it's really about inheritance. Like if you know if you can't do anything at all, at least leave an inheritance for the next generation, because other communities are leaving inheritance for them to jumpstart. That alone will uplift the community and move our community forward. Imagine if everybody at this table had $100,000 to start with and no student debt, and other communities are doing that. It's really about building generational wealth. And I always say you've lived a selfish life if you're not thinking about the next generation. Building something solid, you may not make the $1 million from it. You know, with my shipping business, I know I'm not going to reach where I need to get to, but I'm putting something for the next generation to leverage off of and build off of. So I think you need to really start thinking about the next generation and building that generational wealth, having that inheritance that you can pass on to the future. And that's how other communities have obtained wealth. It's not done in one lifespan. Wealth is obtained over generations. So
it's true. But don't forget, because he did mention wills, right? And it's actually beyond that. We another misconception is particularly in our community that we think if we have a will, that's enough. We're going to have a show, you know, soon about this. But really and truly, if you don't want to have to go through probate court and things like that, you should actually think about having a trust.
Well, we did a show called Burying the Dead, so everybody should draw back. I think we should have some throwback shows. But go back to Burying the Dead and listen to that show. It was a great show, and it talks about all that.
Well, I would also
not
add,
about trust, so stay tuned.
To one of your earlier point about our consumer power, you're like, there's people have said wealth in regard to black people, wealth flows through us but not to us, which is the problem, meaning we're spending money.
He's dropping these dimes.
Absolutely.
That's what he does.
Basically, we need to shift our mindset and be getting into the stock market or becoming entrepreneurs and change our mindset. But I completely agree with your initial point. The viewer or the listener added a second part to his question. Could you guys do a podcast on how black people can create generational wealth and the studies stating black wealth will be zero by the year 2053? Sure.
Yes,
we can definitely do that.
Yes, we will. And I that's something that we should explore and talk about and save a show for that as well.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I would say that's almost like a part two, no? Because remember our Black Power Money Power show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that really touched on quite a few key things.
That was
things.
Wakanda time.
Yes, it was. But right. We could certainly have a refresher.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of this mailbag. So stay tuned for more Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
With good credit.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today we are in the bag, the mailbag that is. We are answering your questions. So let's get right back in the bag with question number four. It reads, "Hello, I just subscribed to your podcast, and let me just say, after listening to 4 episodes, I am in love with your content." Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
"I am a business owner who is looking to repair my credit and start investing in real estate. Do you offer any investing companies or tools to help with that?"
Well, I would say that, you know, if you're looking to repair your credit, I don't know if you have certain credit cards or whatnot, but the first step is to actually, you know, get a fully understanding of your credit report. And every credit report, like anything, it tells a story. And within that story, you'll see, you know, are you making your payments on time? Are there things that are outstanding that you're just not paying at all? Are there things that are in a bad state? Kind of understand your current condition of your credit report. And then you yourself can make active changes. You know, it starts with paying your bills on time, one. And then start, and if there's anything that you see that's derogatory or incorrect on your credit report, then to actively try to get that change. And by doing that and that change, you could contact the credit bureaus directly yourself, Experian, Equifax, or TransUnion, and try to show the evidence that what's there is incorrect and try to get it taken out of your credit report. But I will say also that you cannot remove a negative point on your credit report that is correct. All you can do is start from today, and which is start to pay your bills on time and chip away at your debt.
I guess to address the real estate piece, because that's key. So you get your credit right, right? And now you want to start investing. As a first-time home buyer, I would definitely encourage you to look into your local first-time home buyer events that may be available. There's all kinds of seminars. I know a lot of the big banks do offer these first-time homebuyer seminars. It's funny, my fiancé and I, we just finished doing two of them in the month of January, which were really well attended. And a lot of times, especially with the bigger banks, they'll offer you lots of great benefits for attending, like low or no down payment loans, down to payment assistance, grants. And that's worth a lot of money, you know, as a first-time homebuyer. Definitely something to look into.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off what Deanna is saying when it comes to real estate, I'm not sure where you're calling from, what city or country you're calling from, but I would recommend, you know, joining an investment real estate group such similar to what Deanna and her fiance are doing, becoming actively part of like the real estate movement in your city. And there's so much you can learn ad hoc from people that are investing in real estate that sometimes to me it's even better than any course you could ever take, just real life experience. So kind of you have to force yourself. I always kind of tell myself I have to force myself into an industry. And that's by surrounding yourself of like-minded people that are doing things in that industry.
Good stuff.
Well, all right, let's jump back in the mailbag. Next, we have a letter from Joshua X. Joshua says, getting a bonus, I want to save it or invest it, but I have a loan that I'd like to pay off to free up monthly expenses / commitments. Smart move? Any thoughts on
that? I'd always say this when it comes to that. I get that question a lot. And, you know, it really, you got to look at the cost of borrowing money, meaning that if you have stuff on your credit card and you're paying 19% interest, the cost of borrowing the money is $19 on every $100 that you have on your card, basically. And, you know, if you're saving or even you want to do an investment and your investment doesn't outweigh that cost of borrowing money, which is the cost of your credit card, then I'm a fan of saying no. I mean, but if like you should always look, that's the game you have to play in your mind. What is it costing me to borrow this money versus what can I earn on this money? If you think the investment you want to do is going to outperform your debt, and then which is what the wealthy do. They inherit, they incur debt, and as long as the investment that they're investing in, we're either using that money for covers the debt financing, then and it allows a positive income, then it's worth the investment. It's worth borrowing the money. So even if you have a $500 credit card, a $1,000 credit card, and you have $1,000 in the bank, it's the same kind of mindset. You have to ask yourself, does the cost of borrowing this money outweigh what I'm earning in savings? And once you ask that question every time, it's an easy decision to make.
Agreed. Well, let's get back in the bag. The next question, it reads, I've been listening to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, and I wonder what they think of this. Banks are handing out beefed up credit lines no one asked for.
I say great.
That's a compliment.
I say good. That's a compliment.
They
exactly.
Trust you with their money.
That's the reward. That's the reward, to be quite honest. I mean, if you're able to, once you keep paying your bills on time and you're paying your credit cards off in full, the credit card companies then have more trust and belief in you, and they extend your credit card, they go deeper. And you know, sometimes the question is, would I rather have $1 million access in cash or have $1 million access in credit? Kind of, they're almost somewhat on par sometimes. So as your relationship gets better, and just like any personal relationship with your significant other, once the trust is, you know, gets deeper, there's more trust, you obviously give more, you know, the relationship gets more deeper. And it's the same thing with credit. As a creditor trust in you more, he's going to give you more access to capital. So increasing your credit line is a compliment, actually, and more kudos to you. Decreasing your credit line shows that, hey, they're losing trust and commitment to you. It's like when, you know, you're dating somebody and they say, you know, can you give me back the keys to my house or my apartment? That means, hey, the relationship is going in a different direction.
Your credit's been revoked.
Your credit's been revoked.
All right, well, let's jump back in the bag. Our last letter. It reads, which is a better investment tool, life insurance or the stock market?
Great question. Well, there are different types of insurance. And if you look at whole life insurance, or what they call permanent life insurance, can be used as an investment tool because there is what they call a cash value, where certain people, savvy enough, will, you know, take that money out to invest in other investment vehicles, real estate, if you can really get savvy with it. You can use life insurance as an investment tool. But as far as I understand, the stock market, and when you look at the long haul, the overall returns always beat out even real estate. I don't know what your thoughts are, Sean.
You know, my younger self in my 20s or 30s, I was heavily involved in real estate, and the market for me was something that I would just put, you know, my reserves into. And life insurance was something, I didn't have any kids, so it wasn't something that I was thinking about. But, you know, life is stages, and stages means you need to adjust to your current environment. So I think it's a question of where you are in life. I would say that if you're young and single income, no kids, I would say, you know, life insurance may not necessarily be as a priority as investing in the stock market, investing in yourself, investing in real estate. But as you have responsibilities in life, then life insurance, the scale of life insurance kind of increases. And I wouldn't look at life insurance as a return on investment tool. You know, I think you should look at the stock market and real estate and other things as that investment tool. But look at life insurance as what it should be, as an insurance, meaning that if something were to happen to you, you were to pass, your significant ones would be taken care of. I'm not really a fan of looking at a life insurance as an investment rather than an insurance.
So that's it for the mailbag. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with a little more Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Getting in the bag. With good
credit. Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Today, we've been all up in the mailbag. In the bag.
All up in it.
Getting your questions. So we definitely would like you to keep those questions coming. Dion, can you share some info with the people if they want to send some more letters?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that was awesome. So please keep writing us, okay? We want to hear your questions. We do a mailbag every month. Please email us at TBGWGC. That's Two Black Guys with Good Credit. TBGWGC@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Two Black Guys Good Credit. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review so others can find us, like Gamoni, our guest, sorry, that's G Money's, my apologies, who left this wonderful review, who said, "This podcast is necessary. There is a definite need across all demographics for this kind of podcast, specifically when thinking about my experience growing up. I did not have anyone in my family to teach me how to be financially clean. It's definitely a journey relearning the relationship I have with money. I thank Arlington, Matt, Sean, and Dion, the lady with the cold hard facts, for filling this void." Well, G Monies, let me tell you, you make us want to keep doing this over and over again. Thank you so much.
Big ups, G Money.
And my name is Dion Nichols, the lady with the history, the stats, and the cold hard facts. And I'm out.
All right. Well, I'm Matt Smith, the other half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And I just want to encourage you to get those letters in. And like Dion said, we have the monthly mailbag show. We will do our best to answer those questions. So definitely send in those letters and get in for the next mailbag. And remember, nothing changes if nothing changes. Sean?
I'm Sean Lingo from Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the better half of Two Black Guys. And I would just like to say, you know, we do this show for you, the people. So as much as we love to pick the topics, we need your assistance in helping address your specific needs. And guess what? Hey, it's free. So continue to send us in your questions. Please, as Dion was saying, I'm going to reiterate it. Leave us a comment on iTunes. It really does help our show. And follow me on Instagram. I'm Financially Clean Sean. And as I say every show, your money is your money. Keep it in your damn pocket. And I'm out. But with good credit.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation
or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.